11. A Baal HaBayis shemach that Sarah and Avram brought Hagar into their home, made her his wife, and brought Yishmael into the world, causing her so much grief. What would be the correct way to explain this? Explain? We're not able to explain everything. How can a person explain what's going on since October 7th? It's hard to explain. There's a lot of tragedies that defy explanation. We know all the tragedies of the Churban HaBayis and of the and Inquisitions and the Cossacks and the Holocaust. We can't explain everything. Apparently, the particular question relates to Yishmael, uniquely Yishmael. It's true the Ramban does say something along those lines, that perhaps it wasn't right the way Sarah treated Hagar, and maybe Avram was complicit, and that's perhaps why we have so many problems from the Ishmaelites that Ramban knew about very well. If you look at the Netziv in the Harachev Dover, he quotes this Ramban, and he says he doesn't really understand the Ramban. He doesn't see, first of all, he thinks that Sarah and Avram were blameless. He disagrees with the premise that they did something wrong. And he goes further than that. I read you some of his words, which are important. He says, Lo yodati, only the Yishmaelim have caused problems since ever Avram? More than other umos olam? Zebedor zeb, zebedor zeb. Siv writes that in every generation, as we say, v'hishamda, b'chol dar v'dar omdim l'enel chalosenu. It was pagans, it was Christians, it was Muslims. So he doesn't see the difference. And he goes further and says, the hepech, b'nei Yishmael, lo and b'nei Yisrael levadis, alelu, ki im kol mi shoya nichbash mehem beis Roma yodam, also pros. Anyone that they could get their hands on, they would kill. Remember, Pera Adam. The Chofetz Chaim says that Pera Adam was a statement in the Torah, and it will never change. It will never change. There will always be a Pera Adam. And if you try to make him cultured, enlightened, he'll be an enlightened Pera Adam. You can't take away what the Torah says in describing an individual. It's for Netzach. And famously, the Chofetz Chaim added, it doesn't say Adam Pera, but Pera Adam. Adam Pera would mean a wild man, like you have an Adam Godel, the great man. But Pera Adam means, fundamentally, it's a Pera. A Pera is translated as a wild ass, or a Vildachaya, someone like an animal. He happens to look like a human being. It's just a description. It's an adjective. Fundamentally, it's a Pera. So said the Chofetz Chaim, and he sighed and said, Oy, just imagine what kind of tzoros Yishmael is going to cause to Am Yisrael in the future. Chofetz Chaim was, of course, a seer. He saw what we see now, and we've seen, frankly, not just now. What's happening now is terrible. Lost over a thousand people, and the number keeps getting higher. Terrible, terrible, terrible. We all know, any student of modern Jewish history knows, that in the 1948 war, we were attacked by the Ishmaelim from all sides with major, major armed forces. We had almost nothing at the time. And we suffered many more thousands of casualties. The number is approximately four times what we have lost now. It took a longer time for it to happen. That's why they're correct in saying that October 7th was the most murderous day in Jewish history since the Holocaust. But think about the Holocaust. Let's say you lost 1,500 people. How many times did you have to get to 6 million? So, I mean, it's a mind-boggling amount of sorrows that Christ will have suffered at the hands of enemies, both Yishmaelim and non-Yishmaelim. And we know that the rabbis have taught us that Yishmael is really part of Malchus Edom. There is no Malchus Yishmael. There are only Arba Malchios. And most assume that Yishmael is included in Edom. Yishmael, of course, was the father-in-law of Esav. And Malchus Edom is called the Malchus HaRishah, considered the worst of them all, because it's the most long-lasting of all the Arba Malchios to try to destroy Am Yisrael, as they've tried so many, so many, so many times, starting from the Romans and the Bayit Sheni to Hitler, and everyone in between. and they've tried so hard to destroy us completely. They've killed millions upon millions upon millions of people. How can you explain? The word explain is a difficult word. A difficult word. So instead of explaining, my Rebbe would say, stop trying to explain it and just figure out what we have to do about it. We have to do about it. So a little bit of a play on the Brisker idea of what and not why, of vos and not farvos. Slightly different in the realm of history, but same idea. And what should we be doing? What should we be doing is including ourselves by saying Avinu Malkeinu and other things in the Tzaros and Shal Yisrael. As the Rambam writes in Nichos Tshuva, Per Gimel, Alocha Yir Aleph, the person who's not Nichos and Tzaros and Shal Yisrael, Ein Lo Chelek Olam Abba, even if he never sinned at all. How can that be? The answer is not part of Klal Yisrael. Only Klal Yisrael Shal Chelek. He doesn't have a Chelek. He didn't forfeit it. He just never had it. So we have to, again, some say Avinu Malkeinu, some are traveling to Israel, some are davening better, some are saying a lot of tefillin, some are doing all kinds of chasodim and giving tzedakah. But everybody has to do something that we have to, all of Klal Yisrael is in a Torah, every single member. And if you needed any reminder, what's going on now on the college campuses in the USA, it's a shrek and a pacha, blatant anti-Semitism that we haven't seen in a while. Apparently, it's always been latent. It became blatant with this excuse of Alilas Dam, as if somehow we're guilty. You may recall when they started a rumor that Israel destroyed a hospital. It was unconfirmed. Now they say it's never happened. It's an Alilas Dam. They used to pour blood on the bottom of our own Kodesh and say we killed a goy to get the blood. This is an ancient method of Alilas Dam common to Christians and to Muslims who have tried to kill us over the years. What are they supposed to do about it? Of course, if you can do something practical, either by giving money or contacting politicians in this country to enhance the critical support of the U.S. government for the state of Israel, it's really critical. Whoever has the ability to contact people of influence should do so. This morning, I received a phone call from one of the Rabbonim, Shulin, Long Island, asking me, is he allowed to go into a church to speak to a priest to intercede with the local politicians? I said, absolutely yes. Just don't go into the sanctuary. We don't like going into churches, but this is necessary. I thought this was a question coming straight out of World War II. We're living in very difficult times. Our most important responsibility, as the Rambam writes, the very beginning of Hilchos Tanios, is when it's a tzara, we have to cry out to Hashem and to daven with all of our hearts, and doing so is a recognition that what happens to us comes straight from the Rabbonu Shalom, and even though they happen to be these murderers from Hamas who did it, but had Hashem not ordained it, it would never have happened. That's what we call bitochen. Everything comes from Hashem, good and bad, and therefore the only way out of this problem, says the Rambam, is to daven and to recognize that it comes from Hashem, and that will cause the tzara to go away. That is our main responsibility right now. And he quotes the pasuk, "Chisavo milchama bi'artzem atzar toretzem v'ayosem v'chasotzros," which is just the way of z'aka, of crying out to Hashem, and that's what we have exactly now, as in a milchama in Eretz Yisrael with a vicious enemy who is causing us terrible grief with murders and other terrible things. This is the time to call out to Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's what should be done. Continues the Rambam. The person does not do this, and he attributes it to happenstance, nikre mikre, and of course there's so many explanations what happened over here. The snipers knocked out the cameras, and the fences didn't work, and they're caught by surprise, and the intelligence failed, and the whatever failures. That's true superficially, but deep down, Kodesh Baruch Hu made it happen. And Hashem lo yishmar ir, shav shakat shalma, with the most advanced intelligence and the most absolutely positive way of defending the country. Doesn't help. Kodesh Baruch Hu says no is no. That's what we have to realize. That's what we have to do. And for this reason, Rambam writes, if we don't do this, we're considered cruel. Why are we cruel? Because if we are cruel, because if we don't do this, the Rambam writes, it's going to get worse. If you go be Bekeri, it'll be Hamas Keri. That seems to me to be the job of every single one of us in a global war effort. It's not explaining why it happened. Yeah, we all know the explanations that were given. I share with an audience that the Chazal tell us that David HaMelech's soldiers had casualties and Achav's did not. David the biggest Tzadik and Achav's the biggest Rasha. And the Chazal explained to us that because they were united and David's time was backfighting, infighting and bickering, and that's what caused it. So our main point is to try to become united as much as possible. And even though being united in Achav's time was based on Avodah Zarah, doesn't matter. Still enabled his soldiers to come back with no casualties. So we have to be, as much as we can, able to be united, as much as we can, and to teach this to our balabatim and our shuls. This is the only way. The only way. I want to say one more thing. The Chofetz Chaim in Machne Yisrael, Chelek Aleph, Perek Lamites, tells us that the key to success in battle, it's written to soldiers, the key to success in battle is bitachon. Bitachon, even if you see the enemy is stronger, if you have bitachon, there's a greater chance of success. How does he prove it? He proves it from a pasuk in the next to the last perek of Shmuel Aleph, where something terrible happened. David came to the city of Tiklag, and it was burned to the ground, and guess what? The women and children were taken captives, nishbu, captives, like we have today, hostages. They cried till there was no power, strength left to cry. So we all feel like doing ourselves. Just keep crying. That's not going to help. 4 words. David took strength in Hashem. Next psukim tell us he asked to Urim v'Tumim, and they said, go and you'll be successful. And he was successful. He somehow brought back all the hostages. So the Chofetz Chaim explains that he didn't ask for the Urim v'Tumim until after those 4 words. Vayischazek David b'Hashem Elokov. And the only way the Urim v'Tumim said he's going to succeed, because he was mischazek as bitchono b'Hashem. As the Gemara says in Menachos, in 2 worlds, and other such sources. And you shouldn't say that they're stronger than us. You should just have b'tichah b'tochah b'Hashem. We know this. And here comes my final point. Chofetz Chaim was a pasuk we say every Shabbos. Rosh Hashem esireyev esam yachum l'chazdo. Chofetz Chaim is a critical point. It doesn't say, Rosh Hashem Esireyev Hamiyachu Nechasto. No. To teach us, not only if he was, until now, including Yirei Hashem, Mekayim Mitzvosov, that for sure Hashem will try to help them, but more than that, Afilu Bishul Kriyashma Shachar Tzvi'arev B'levad Nitzolden, just I say Kriyashma, He wasn't so firm until now. This is the key. I must tell you that I believe it was on Sunday morning I received a video of soldiers about to go into Gaza. And what were they saying? Ono Hashem Oshiyana, Ono the captain. And everyone yells out, Ono Hashem Oshiyana, Ono Hashem Oshiyana, Ono Hashem Oshiyana, Ono Hashem Atzlichana, Ono Hashem Atzlichana. And that's how they're going into the fight. Cannot imagine each and every one of them was in the Urim of before. Doesn't matter, says the Chofetz Chaim. That's Urim number one. Number two, Asamiyachal Nechasu, even if they're not Urim, the pasuk splits them. So we have to have B'tochan in the Kodesh Baruch Hu. You have to do our share and to explain this based upon the actions of Sarah and Avraham and Bar Hagar and Ishmael. That's not for us to do. That's for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and for nobody else. You want to look in the commentaries of the Ramban and the Nitziv, you'll see they have a bit of a disagreement concerning what happened way back when. And, you know, who are we to put ourselves between these two great individuals? But my Rebbe, who was a descendant of the Nitziv, was more likely to explain it in that fashion and to concentrate not on the why, but primarily on the what. Thank you very much.
Rebbe, we thank you very much and your important words, and we hope to call upon Rebbe again in the near future. Thank you.
Bye.